Good, Carol. Good morning. We've been sharing concerning being grateful, thankful to God. Last week we talked about the sacrifice of praise, how we need to be praising Him. Praising Him every day, every aspect of our being is that we ought to be lifting ourselves up before God and praise to Him for who He is. And the aspects of all of His true nature as it's revealed to us. God, indeed, glorified Himself in His Son. His Son, Jesus, came to glorify the Father so that we might know Him. You and I, today, not only should we be really thankful to God, not only should we be praising Him for all of His goodness, but we need to be glorifying Him. I will glorify the King of Kings. I will glorify the Lord of Lords. I will glorify the God that I love. He is the great I am. Our responsibility is to fulfill the unbelievable thing that Jesus did as He came. Jesus came to glorify God. Jesus then established the body of people on the face of the earth that would be a body who would glorify that same name, the name of God, and that they would demonstrate it. The only way you and I could ever hope to develop a real personal relationship with God is to have a passionate desire to glorify Him. I said it's to have a passionate desire to glorify Him. See, glorifying God may sound very elusive in some ways as you and I would express it. But in essence, it just seems, and it really just seems, really means, is to reveal the fullness of God. Jesus came to reveal God. He came to reveal the fullness of God. Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you have seen God. Now think about it for a moment. When you and I, again, let's review the aspects of God's nature, His splendor. Can you imagine that night when the angels were out there in the field and the glory of the Lord shone around them? What that must have been like. The aspects of that, the radiance of that, the radiance of His splendor as it came upon them that night. And they heard that aspect of what those angels said. Glory to God in the highest. Why? Because unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You see, God in the aspects of who He is all power. There's nothing that has not been created by God. Everything is sustained by God. His word power is demonstrated every day in holding this world together until He decides it's done and fulfilled His glorified purpose in bringing a righteous people to the point of where they can be entering into His presence someday and spend eternity with Him. God's eternal plan is to purify for Himself a people whose goal is to glorify Him on the face of this earth. The aspect of that is, of course, a demonstration of His grace, is a demonstration of His mercy that you and I have experienced every day of our life. It's by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. All part of that is nothing more than a realization of His glory. A realization of His glory. We can talk about the goodness of God, the gentleness of God, the forgiveness of God, the compassion of God, the faithfulness of God. We can talk all about that, aspects of it. But to experience it is something different. You see, Moses saw God. He saw Him with all the plagues that were brought upon Egypt. He saw the hand of God as He brought the frogs and the darkness and the water turning to blood. And Noah saw all of that. Moses saw all that. He saw the Red Sea open. He saw God provide them a way in which they could be set free from physical slavery. He was there and he saw God destroy the Egyptian army by bringing the waters of the Red Sea upon them and destroying them. Miriam, Moses' sister, composed a song singing, they had seen God delivering their enemy, Egyptians, and setting them free. You can see that. They saw that. But it's interesting that when Moses went up into the mountain and was there before God, Moses said, Who in the world are you? Who are you? And God said, Moses, you come up tomorrow. Come back up here to this same mount, and I will show you my glory. I'll show you my glory. And God then, as he spoke to Moses, said and told him, as he was willing to demonstrate and speak to him his glory, this is what he said. God said to Moses, I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion, and I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. In other words, God said, my glory is who I am. I'm a compassionate, merciful, loving, good, forgiving, gracious God. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's my glory. My glory revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to show us the Father. Did he not? And when you and I see what, and as we look upon this one who took upon himself human flesh and dwelt among us, and when the shepherds had gone there, as you well remember, and the aspects of that is just unbelievable. The point of it is that what they saw, is this working? Yes, this is not working. And the angel said, and be not afraid, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to whom? All people. In the city of David, there is one born, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is a sign. You're going to find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. There appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, what? What? Glory to God in the highest. I believe it echoed throughout the universe that God's glory had now come and been born in a manger. The very aspect of his nature, the very aspect of every part of who God is, was there in that little baby, Jesus. And he came and was born in order for you and I that we could have a personal, compassionate, passionate desire to know the Creator of the universe, to know him, to have a relationship with him. The grateful, thankful people who have nothing in mind but lifting up his name and praising him for all of his glory, for who he is. For who he is. And every day, you and I walk and should be experiencing the unbelievable glory of God. It's shown around them. I believe today that God's glory wants to shine and show and magnify your life as one of his children. You are the body of Christ. You are Christ in this world today. You and I are here for one purpose. The same purpose that Jesus had is to show the splendor and the magnificent aspect of God's eternal nature. God wants a people that when people meet you, they're going to see God and Christ living in you. They're going to meet Jesus for the first time, whether it be at the workplace, whether it be at your home, your family, your neighbors, we are Christ to the world today. And we're here for a purpose. Our purpose is to demonstrate the splendor and the graciousness and the loving forgiveness and everything you and I have come to know about God. Because you can't glorify someone you don't know. Does that make sense? And the aspects of all of that is unbelievable. Glory to God on earth and peace on earth. And you know when the shepherds went back and the angels left, the shepherds began, let's go straight to Bethlehem. See this thing which has happened, which the Lord is. And so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he laid in a manger. And when they seen this, they made known the statement about this child. You've heard it and you wondered, he said, and perspective was told by the shepherds. Mary treasured all these things, pondering them. The shepherds went back, what? Glorifying and praising God. I spoke on praising last week. Then we sang a song, I'll glorify your name. And I said, man, I need to preach a sermon on glorifying God. So I worked on it this week, putting it together. And then I began to realize that, man, what a joyful privilege it is to be able to know God and to glorify him. That's an honor. I mean, come on, people. He created this. He created this beautiful world. He set the stars in the sky and the sun and the moon. He makes, and you and I were made in His image, in the image of God. He made you and me. It's in Him you move and have your being. You're His offspring. We breathe and move because of the grace of God. He allows us to live today for one purpose. It's the knowing. To know the Creator. To know the God who loved you enough that He let His Son come, be born in a manger, so He could die for your sins and for mine. Glorifying God. What an unbelievable aspect that is, and a privilege that we have. To see, to glorify someone is to give them honor. It is to praise them. It's to lift them up above everything else in perspective to life. It's to make and show them and who they are clearly to anyone and everyone that we meet. When you glorify somebody like God, that means you're going to show everyone exactly who He is. That's exactly how Jesus glorified it. I have glorified you, you have glorified me. And if you have seen me, you have seen God. The church needs to be able to say that today. If you've seen the body of Christ, if you've seen the way they love one another, the way they love God and they love Jesus, and how they demonstrate that love to one another, then you have seen God. You've seen Him. You've seen Him. Isn't it a shame what the church has done to God today? Isn't it? How it's been divided. How there's been eternal strife and whatever between God's people over the years, and things that have occurred and things that have happened. But when you and I demonstrate that aspect, you say, well, Bill, come on. Give me a simple solution. How do I glorify God? Well, Jesus told you. You know that? He didn't leave us wanting. Matthew 5:16. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus pours His heart out to the people. When it says He's opened up His mouth, the Greek background of that phrase is that He opened up His heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus poured His heart out to you and me in Matthew 5:6-7. There He said in the 16th verse, let your light so shine before men. Oh, wait a minute now. Isn't Jesus the light of the world? Are we not the light of the world? Didn't Jesus say you're the light of the world? That you don't take your light and under a bushel, but you put it up on the mountaintop. You go up so everybody can see it. Isn't that what He said? Let your light so shine that people can see what? That they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, wait a minute. How did Jesus glorify God? My Bible tells me that Jesus went about doing good. His whole life was involved in seeing and going about, looking for every opportunity that He could to touch the lives of people by doing something good for them. Isn't that what He did? That's exactly what He did. The church today, in so many ways, we've gotten so occupied with the things of the world, we have lost the purpose for why we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our response and our joy should be that we are fulfilling the unbelievable purpose of God that He started in His Son, and that God is at work in us, that we are out there busily touching people's lives and doing good and making a difference in the world in which we live in. Pretty simple, isn't it? Isn't it? Didn't Paul say to the church at Galatia, he said to them, do good unto all men. Do good unto all men, and especially unto those who are of the household of faith, right? So we'll have an opportunity to help Chuck and Leslie by just sharing whatever we can share in the gift of love, right? Anybody else here need encouragement, bud? Anybody else here need encouragement, Chris? Anybody else here need encouragement, Judy? I mean, do we need it or don't we? Anybody else here not need it? How are we going to show people that we love them? How do you show love? How do you show it? Love is a verb. What does it say? Do not love in word. Love in what? Deed. Deed. Do something. Demonstrate it. That's what God did. For God so loved the world, He gave. Love is giving. Well, that's thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving, praise, glorifying God, the aspect. And of course, all of that begins with you, first of all, giving yourself totally and completely to God. 100%. Every aspect of your being. Jesus made it clear that it was God, however, working through Him that made it possible for Him to accomplish what He came to do, right? Didn't Jesus make that clear? Thomas, He said, if I've been with you so long that you haven't seen and don't know Me, if you've seen Me, you have seen God. But the words that I speak are not My words, Thomas. And the works that I do are not My works. It's the works of Him who sent Me. Believe on Me, not for My word's sake. Believe on Me for what you've seen Me do. We can preach and preach and preach, but the world out there is going to breathe our preaching if they don't see it living, actively changing people's lives. Period. Okay? So let's think about that for a minute. How do I, and am I really glorifying God? Well, I can begin by saying right now, my first element of glorifying God is with my wife, Marilyn. I want Marilyn to see God in me. Husband. If the husband is to love Christ as loved as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, then think about it. What's my first ministry? What's my first calling? I wish I would have come to this conviction of many years ago in my ministry, because my first love was going out there making Bill Horton known to everybody and how nice and how good he was and whatever, and while my wife sat home and my children and I neglected them. When my first commitment, my first love should have been her and my children, my family. You see, the church is them too, isn't it? Isn't she a member of the body of Christ? Weren't my children Christians? Yeah, they were. Why wasn't I just as responsible to Him as I was anyone else? Make sense? You know how many families have lost the faith and gone back into the world because the preacher sold himself out and gave his whole life to doing nothing but ministering to the church and not his own family? That's a shame, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah, it is. And it happens. I know it does. But the point of it is that I realize that I have a responsibility, and I have an unbelievable responsibility. And the beautiful thing of it is that God's Word has not left us wanting to be able to see that. Turn to 1 Peter. Turn to the book of Peter and 1 Peter, and let's just read some scripture. And let's emphasize glorifying God. Got it? That's what you're going to watch for. You're going to watch for the words glorifying God. And we're going to start with verse 9 of chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Everybody there? Okay, the reason I want you to be there is because most people remember about 20% of what they hear, but you'll remember about 60% of what you see. So if you're seeing and hearing at the same time, that adds up to about 80%. All right, here it goes. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers related to this world to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Are you listening? Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good what? Because of your good deeds as they observe them, read it, glorify God in His visitation. He is coming. Every eye is going to see Him. Every knee is going to bow before the great white throne of God. So the aspect is that how do we glorify God? How are they going to? How's the world going to glorify God? By seeing the deeds of God's people and what we do in order to glorify Him. Now, how will we do that? We'll turn to the fourth chapter of Peter. The fourth chapter of Peter in verse 8. And let's read what Peter says here. Remember, glorifying God. Okay? Somebody has said the word glorify is like turning the spotlight on. Okay? You want people to see God, then we need to be turning the spotlight on Him. He's the light of the world. In Him is no darkness. We're the light. We're to walk in the light. That means we should be turning the spotlight on God, and that people should see. We're proclaiming His excellency. He who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, who has transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're to proclaim that. Isn't that what it said? Notice what he says here. Above all, verse 8, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Anybody here not sinned? Anybody here say you're without sin? Anybody here say that you have not and you don't sin anymore? If you do, you're a liar, right? Huh? So I know that all of us probably are still in and do commit an act of sin. Right? So when does love do? Love covers it. The background is love puts a cover over it. What does most church people do when they found out somebody may have sinned? And what does church people do? What does the Pharisee, the righteous, self-righteous people do? Well, they're out on the broad rooftop and they're proclaiming everything. Did you know that so-and-so did that? Did you know that? Whatever. Have you heard about what's the? Have you know that? Yeah, we're not proclaiming God's excellency in doing that because God is a forgiving, merciful, compassionate, caring God, right? Right? Love covers multitude because we're all in that category, are we not? If we say we have not sinned, then we make God a liar. But the blood of Jesus does cover sin, doesn't it? And there's no way in the world, if I know a person has been caught up in a sin, we who are stronger first examine ourselves, then we're to go and do what? Restore him or her, whatever the situation might be. But he says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. So if you're going to open your house to other people, for goodness sake, don't complain about it. You know? For instance, the 8th is brownie day. Did you notice that? So I'm inviting all of you to our house on Friday because there's no one under heaven that makes brownies any better than my wife does. I guarantee it. She's given her recipe to I don't know how many people, and I'm telling you, they just don't have it. She took brownies down for Turkey Day at our family, and I'm telling you, those grandkids, that's the first thing they went after. And they devoured them. Moist, soft, thick, chocolatey, melt in your mouth. Brownie day. You got it, Ray? Now, Marilyn, I put the spotlight on her, didn't I? Didn't I just glorify my wife? Didn't I just edify her? Didn't I do that? Then why can't we do that to God, for heaven's sakes? Why we can't tell about His excellency and what He's able and what He's done? Has He not forgiven you? Has He not been patient with you? Haven't you experienced His goodness and and the aspect and the fulfillment of His presence, His protection, His grace in your life day after day after day after day. Be thankful. Be thankful for a gracious God. Praise Him, but let's glorify Him. I will glorify the God that I love. I want people to know who I really truly love. I love God with my heart, my soul, my body, and my strength. Amen? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Oh, yes. Let's move on. Verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, the gift you have was given to you by the grace of God. You're to use it in serving the body of Christ as a manifold or as a manifestation, as making it and clearly seeing and demonstrating that you're a steward of what God has granted you and given you, and you're to use it according to His purpose, His glory, right? You're a steward of it. That means He's given you a gift, and you're to use it. Remember the parable of the talents? Huh? Yeah, you do. Whoever speaks, Ted, Mark, Bill, Don, Ray, Lloyd, whoever, Bob, whoever of us speaks. Whoever speaks the utterances of God, whoever serves, as to do so as one who is serving by what? By the strength that God supplies. You get it? By the strength that God supplies. Jesus said, I don't do these things in my own power, by my own strength. I do it through the power and the strength of Him who sent me. What's the difference? If Jesus had to have the power of God in Him to accomplish the purpose, why don't I? Why don't you? How in the world can you and I fulfill the purpose that God has called us unless God empowers us to do it? You see, you did not receive at your birth a spirit of timidity. You received a spirit of power. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond what you even dream or ask through the power that is at work in you. You know what the Bible says? Well, of course it does. By the strength which God supplied. Why? So that in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Glorifying God. Recognizing that it doesn't matter who I am or what I am, the power and the strength that I have, it's because God supplies it. Do you passionately desire to know Him? Is that your heartbeat? Like a deer panting after the living water, so my heart pants after You, O God. You know what the psalmist said? How about, do you have that passionate desire to obey Him? You just simply want to do His will. Father, I came to do Your will. Not my will, God, but Yours be done. You know what Jesus said? You have that passionate desire to glorify Him by your obedience? You have that passionate desire to proclaim Him? Are you ashamed of God? Do you talk to people about God? You tell them about who He is and what He's done in your personal life? How much you love Him? The power He has demonstrated in your life and the aspects of that? And how He has heard your prayers numerous times and answered them? And blessed you? And that His will has been accomplished? Is your passionate desire then to glorify God? To turn the light on Him? To demonstrate to the world that they can see how gracious and good and compassionate and caring and the aspects of God's nature? Go up in the mountain, Moses. I'll show you my glory. I'll let my goodness be passed in front of you. Oh yeah, wait a minute. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father of lights. And in Him there is no shadow or variation of turning. So what does that mean? That just means that I take what God's goodness has done, I take the goodness of God and I turn it around and I do to others what God has done for me. I show people mercy, don't you? If somebody wrongs me, what do? You forgive them, right? Huh? somebody's hurting and they need something, you show compassion, don't you? You experience with. You know what God did with us? The whole aspect then is for you and I to come to know the splendor, the goodness, the love, and the grace of God, and have that in so much a part of who I am because I've experienced it. It's a part of who I am because I know Him, and just turn it around as it has been given unto you. Give. Give. It'll be given to you. Pressed down, overflowing, poured over into your lap, because by the same measure you measure it out, it's going to be measured back. I'm grateful we ought to be this season of year to thank God for that. Christ my Lord gave all for me, that from sin I might be set free. Now in me He lives again. Glory to His precious name. Christ my Lord arose and lives, over all the victory gives. Now in Him I live anew. Praise His name, I know 'tis true. Christ my Lord will come one day, take me home with Him to stay. Then anew His praise I'll sing, reign with Him, my Lord and King. I long to glorify You, dear Lord. I long to glorify You. And all I do and all I say, I long to glorify You. Amen. Let us be a body of people that our heart's desire, no matter what, is to glorify God. Don't turn the spotlight on yourself. Turn it on God. Let people see Christ living in you. Let them see what difference He's made in your life. People would rather see a sermon any day than hear one. You know that, don't you? And you're a sermon from God. You're a message from God. You're a work of the Holy Spirit. And God writing upon your heart the eternal context of His eternal nature. Transforming you from glory to glory into His likeness. And then someday we're going to see Him. And when we do, we're going to become totally, completely like Him. Praise God for our hope, right? I glorify God. So we're going to sing the song we sang last week. Okay? I love it. I just love the song. And it really ought to come from our hearts. Amen? I love You, God. And I want to glorify Your name. Let's stand together.